Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 7th of September. It is September.
How could it be September?
Where did that come from? Seriously, it's like whoosh, summer's gone, and it feels like it out there as well, doesn't it? It's like autumn.
I was in a high street coffee shop yesterday, and they had the autumn bonfire flavoured coffee on, and I went, it was summer last weekend. What are you doing? It's crazy.
I know. It's only, 11 weeks till Christmas?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I said it. Yay.
But I did actually, last week I was in a chain store.
Mm-hmm.
There was the BBC Food magazine with Christmas stuff on the front.
Absolutely. It starts already.
That was August Bank Holiday.
It's ridiculous.
Crazy.
As you can hear, my co-host in the studio today is the fabulous Mark Goldfinch.
Hello, Amanda. Hello, everybody.
Thank you for coming back again this month.
Great.
And our guest in the studio is Bjorn Haynes, owner of Spice Masher PM.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us in the madhouse.
And what does the PM stand for?
Process management.
Spice Masher process management.
Yes, I don't make me say that.
It might be Prime Minister.
Prime Minister. It could be.
Hey, that's pretty good, you know.
Yeah, we should work on that.
Could be.
Bjorn for Prime Minister. Yay.
Yeah, come on. I'm sure I can dance better than the current one.
That is very, very true. Anybody can. On this week's show, this week's show sponsor is the lovely people from Orchard Employment Law, Gemma and Lucy there. They're our sponsors for this month. Thank you for sponsoring.
Thank you.
And also we have some really exciting news that the Bunker Extra Show is teaming up with Kickstart Social.
Fantastic.
Which is a new social media and digital marketing event coming up in November, hosted by Lucy Hall, and we're going to be supporting them, and they're going to be supporting us, and we're going to be there on the day to do some interviews. So we're really looking forward to that event. We've had some tweets. We've had a lot of interaction on Twitter today, which is great. We want to hear from you as always. So do please give us a tweet at Bunker Extra with a B Extra or B Bunker hashtag. Let us know. Are you ready for, you know, this last quarter? This is it. That's it.
Everyone's, it's a big push till Christmas break.
Exactly. This is the last quarter of this year.
You guys keep saying Christmas, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, calm down.
I've been talking about Christmas for 2 months, you know.
Yeah, I know. I heard you before. Talking about Christmas back in show 50.
Oh, well, I know, but I have to. It's my industry. We start organising Christmas parties like in June. It's ridiculous.
I realise that, but don't depress the rest of us. Come on.
No, it's exciting. No, I was having this conversation with somebody a couple of days ago, and they were going, "Oh yeah, Christmas." But the thing is, people always go, "Oh yeah, Christmas," but actually, I enjoy Christmas. I love Christmas. I think it's more like, "Oh God, it's the end of another year. Where did that year go?" So let's bring it back. Let's be happy that it's Christmas, not depressed.
That's fine. I mean, I enjoy Christmas and all. This is like a really fun time of year, especially on the 20th when I open the first bottle of whiskey.
Ha-ha. You wait till the 20th of October.
Hey, that's a good plan.
That's a good plan. Start a few months early.
Get a taster set. So basically you could just do one a week, you know.
Well, they probably do. I mean, I know they do wine advent calendars, so they probably do whiskey advent calendars as well these days. They do gin ones.
Yeah, and that'd be pretty good. But I might have a problem and need to go to AA or
Exactly. Don't start too soon. Let us know. Do you like Christmas? Give us a tweet. We can speak to you on the phone if you want to share with us how your week's been, what you've got planned for the rest of the year, or if you've got an event coming up. Give us a call on 01233 220035. That's 01233 220035. And if you would like to email us, if you'd like to come on the show as a guest, or if you've got an event to shout out about, please email us at bunkextra@gmail.com. Now, on last week's show, I was joined in the studio by Gemma Fairclough Haynes. Look at that. Is there a relationship anyway?
I don't know
who she is.
Who is that?
And our guest was Claire Harvey, Action Coach. And it was really interesting to hear Claire's story. She's been in business for over 20 years, a variety of different businesses, and she's now coaching. And we were just discussing how there's so many people now jumping on the bandwagon and saying they're a business coach and they haven't actually ever run a business. So it's difficult. Whereas it was really good to hear Claire's story, because obviously she's had those experiences, she's had the successes, she's had the failures.
Yeah.
So therefore it just makes her a little bit more qualified.
I think there's a lot of this basically with some people that tend to congregate on certain job types, and there are some job types with high barriers to entry. Engineering is one of those.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk about that later. And some others have fewer, lower barriers to entry. So therefore you have more people saying that they do that.
So exactly. It's,
yeah, and then, you know, it ramps the competition up, and I guess people are proved on their results, aren't they?
They are.
I read a pretty good article by Richard Branson talking about...
Who's he?
Richard Branson. Yeah. I love Richard Branson.
Some dude's got a couple of planes, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And an island. Don't forget the island.
Where's wet sweaters? Yeah.
Oh,
well,
it's
flat now, isn't it? Since the hurricane.
Yeah, probably.
But he still owns the island.
It looks like the Isle of Sheppey now. It's actually okay. Just flat.
Carry on, John. Just ignore him.
Richard Branson.
Information, you know, but yeah, and he was talking about young people coming up and starting consultancies, but they've actually got no experience in any business whatsoever.
Mm.
You know, they just came out of school or college or university, and they all of a sudden call themselves a consultant because you can.
Yeah.
And go ahead and say that they are a business consultant of a certain type or a consultant in a subject matter that they have not had any time in any world of work or within any type of business to have an understanding of. Yet they can bring theories that they don't have any proof of.
Mm. There was a fantastic book out last month called The Bluffocracy. So basically there's
The Bluffocracy.
Yeah, it was written by these two guys who were ex-civil servants, and I did PPE at Oxford.
Right.
And it's a big exposé of high politicians, civil servants. It's like, you know, the Northern Ireland secretary who said she didn't understand Northern Irish politics before she got the job as Northern Irish secretary. Like, yeah, people just rise to the top without any knowledge, any specialist knowledge, and then they're expected to make decisions.
That's funny. There's some irony
for
in that,
all
though.
Of us. And you go, my goodness, you know, I mean, something is wrong. You know, and that, so, but it's this bluffocracy is a good way of putting it, I think.
That's fantastic. I think that the irony in all of that is that they created a word.
Exactly, they created a word.
But that's marketing these days. You've got to create a word and then
hang
your career off it.
You know that. We've got lots to cover, but I have got to quickly say this. Yeah. I started a conversation on LinkedIn the other day, and I said, obviously, within marketing, we all big ourselves up. We all embellish, which is fine. But at what point is there...
You don't, Amanda. You're fantastic anyway.
Well, exactly. Yeah. But some people do.
Has been known.
But, you know, I say embellish. It's not a case of exaggerating. It's just obviously focusing on all the big points and the good points.
Yeah.
But then there's some people that just blatantly can lie about... Yeah. I can do this, I can do that, when they've never done it, never experienced. But then it gets to the fine point of, well... fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
So say you can do it, find out how to do it, and then perform. So it's difficult, isn't it? When is it okay to say you can do it when you've never done it before? And when should you do it? And
I think
that's a whole new show.
It is, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a fantastic topic, though, because I personally think that if you're going to go to the level where you're going to fake it till you make it, and in beguiling people into thinking that you can do it, only puts you in a position where you're going to do a half job, you know, a pretty lame output. And the people that are paying for the service don't have the slightest idea that what they've got from you is not a good enough output. It's not what they really should get or what they deserve for the money that they've paid.
Yeah.
So if you're going to fake it, then just make sure that you're studious enough to ensure that you can deliver properly.
Yeah, I mean, I guess probably the better way to do it is say, look, I haven't done this before, but I'm pretty sure I can deliver for you. So at least you're being upfront for them rather than going, yeah, no, it's no problem. And then, you say, mucking up halfway through, and it's just, it's difficult, isn't it? It's tricky. What do you think, guys? Give us a tweet. Should we fake it before we make it?
Has it happened to you? You know, have you actually had a supplier who's done a bodge job, you know, whether it's a service or a trade or something, you know, that's somebody's over promised and under delivered?
No, nothing that stands out, to be honest. I guess what's nice when you've got small businesses, though, is you get to know the people that you're working with.
Yeah.
So therefore, by building a relationship with people, it makes that difference, because when you know somebody a bit better, you almost try even harder to make sure you get it right, because you don't want to let them down. It makes it very personal.
Yeah,
business
personal
is personal.
Yeah.
Business is personal at the end of the day. And I think that's a big thing that, again, businesses should work on, is the fact that, you know, big corporates say, oh, business isn't personal. I think it is personal, and it should be personal, because you get such a better deliverance of service if it's personal than if you you know, if it's not personal, if you're just, whether you, I'll do it whether I like you or not. Well,
that even happens in large corporations. I mean, yeah. I had that with British Gas earlier this year. I have a yes. blog about it, so please go read.
Oh, do read it. It's a very good story.
Actually, Bruin, you've got a really, really good set of blog posts, so I would recommend people to go and read what you've written.
Definitely.
See a whole series of blog
Thank
posts.
Thank you for saying so.
You know what? I've ranted enough.
It's on the Spice Masher PM website.
So but yes, yeah, well, we're going to find out more about Bjorn's blogs in a minute if I stop ranting. I'm on a...
Rant.
I'm in a ranty mood today. Hey, I wonder where I got that from.
I don't know. Maybe it's my aura.
Your aura making me want to rant. Don't get me started on British Gas and BT. Oh, don't even get me started on O2. Anyway, that's another story. Let's have a quick look at the tweets. And we've got...
quite a lot, actually.
We've got quite a few tweets. Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm going to find down here. Where is it? We had a tweet from our regular co-host, security expert Richard Bell. Yeah. Now, Richard does a monthly security special for us, helping us to keep safe. And he has tweeted, obviously, everybody's heard about the big BA hack that's happened, the data breach. And he says, have a great show, guys. If you get time, please point listeners to this if they believe they've been affected by recent stolen data from BA. Some great simple advice from @ActionFraudUK and then that's one of them, and then @CityPolice. Stay safe, stay secure. So if you think you've been affected by the BA data hack, if you go on Twitter @ActionFraudUK, @City or @CityPolice, and there's lots of information to help you. Do listen back to some of Richard's shows, because obviously we cover a lot of this and how you can keep yourself. So, you know, it's things like this that just make you go, and don't think you're too small for them to get after you, because what these professionals do is they attack the small businesses first to make sure it works, and then they go after the big companies. Yeah, so everybody is at risk. So
time for another tweet.
Yes, please do. Yeah. Thanks for that, Richard.
Lovely. Tony Burke, really nice. Thank you very much, Tony, @ChipsAndDrinks. Good
dinks.
Luck today for
dinks.
Another great...
Dinks. Chips and Dinks.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I need my glasses.
Is that talk about whiskey earlier? It's got him going.
Good luck today for another great show. Thanks so much for championing the small businesses of Kent and Medway. Thank you very much, Tony.
Thank you. And we'll say good morning to Emily at @PinkSpag_Emily. Emily, you're doing an amazing job out there with your PA services. Always happy, always jolly, and always on social media. So thanks for listening, and thanks for your tweet shout out.
And by the way, Emily, it is a beautiful sky.
Oh, yes. You tweeted about your picture.
On the train
picture.
Coming between Dover and Folkestone, looking over the channel. Absolutely beautiful cobalt blue.
I bet it's a lovely, lovely view. And one last tweet, shout out for now from Athelbrey. Nothing to do with work. This is an organ donation. This is Organ Donation Week 2018. This is such an important conversation for people to have with family when everyone is fit and well. At a time of bereavement, it can be it can help immensely knowing that the individual really wanted. So sometimes it's too late. So it's Organ Donation Week.
I've been carrying... Have you donated?
I haven't donated yet, but I have
carrying,
a card.
I've been carrying a donation card for 30 years. So, and I've got it on me all the time. So I think it's crazy that people don't.
No, exactly. Why not help somebody else when you can? Yeah. Definitely. There are so many events coming up, so we're going to cover a couple of them now.
Events.
Then we really want to hear about Bjorn, because there was mention of American football, New York large family.
International.
And then we get into... Yeah. And I do want to have a conversation with Bjorn, because I've heard that he's very good at making cups of tea. And that's not from Gemma, that was from somebody else. So what have you got over there, Mark?
Well, I'm going to start with a fantastic event, the Networkers Networking Event.
Woo-hoo.
A full day event that is all about networking, helping business owners to be more productive with their time and to make great connections, set in the stunning location of Brands Hatch Place, and I've been there, it is lovely.
Love
near
it.
Forcombe, Thursday the 27th of September. Come along, three great speakers. Paul Andrews. Do we know Paul Andrews?
Yeah, he's quite a good speaker, you know.
Kid on the block. Yeah. Brian Wakefield, publisher of the GM Life magazine, running one of, if not the biggest networking breakfast meetings in Kent, the BBN. Ben Abbott, who I tweeted this morning, he's had 1,000 downloads of his new Kent Business podcast.
Fantastic.
Show.
And Ben's on our show next week as well.
Fantastic, yeah. Maximum Media. He'll be sharing his experiences. Right, two types of ticket. Unfortunately, the early birds have gone, so you're a bit late for that, because we're getting towards the 27th of September. £20 will get you attendance to the event with refreshment, but without lunch. £30 will buy you attendance to the event, refreshment, and a buffet lunch.
The lunch is amazing at Brands Hatch. It was no sandwiches. Sign of sandwiches at this buffet.
I've been to the Professional Speaking Association events there a few times, actually.
Their food is really good.
Yeah.
It's worth coming just for the food.
You might lasso me in with food.
Yes, come in with the food. Come in with the food.
Yeah.
Do go to just butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/NNE to get your tickets. There's the fine that we've got over 50 business owners already signed up, so there's going to be lots of new connections to be made.
Yeah.
Coming up next Thursday, the Business Diaries. We love the Business Diaries. Yeah. This is the next one in the session, Thursday the 13th of September from 6:45 at the Innovation Centre at Chatham. If you have not heard of the Business Stories, this is what it's all about. It's about storytelling. Each session will bring storytellers ready and willing to pass on their lessons learned, the ups and downs of business, and give a taste of life in their shoes. It is not a time for pitching products. It is a time to hear about personal experiences of fellow business men and women. The stories might be amusing, challenging, inspirational, or perhaps a little sad, but they're definitely worth hearing. It is just £10 for nibbles and drinks, and they do have bubbly girls, and they do have, I don't know if they have beer, but don't worry, they've got bubbly and nice nibbles. Go to Eventbrite, search for the Business Diaries to book onto that. And I know for a fact that their speakers for this next event are Carrie Stay from Clockwork Moggy, Jude Hill from Sunshine to Sadness, Paul McCartney, Ali Hollands, and Keith Mabbott. So they're going to be some great stories. And the theme, it's always a theme, the theme is facing the future. So check that out. It's like a networking, not type of networking, social type thing. It's fun, much fun. It's brilliant.
I did it last November, December, and it was The Gift. So it was, you know, it's a really special event. It's, so, you know, get along to Medway Innovation Centre at Rochester if you can next
Thursday. Definitely.
Right. Got time for one more?
One more, and then we must speak with Bjorn.
And this is from one end of Kent to the other. So this is the Marsh Network is organising a charity dinner, which begins on the 14th of September at 6:30 at the Ship Inn in Dymchurch. And now this is a charity dinner. It's aid of CARM, a local charity that supports older people living in isolation on Rumney Marsh. What a great charity. You get your ticket price actually gets all sorts of things. There's only 36 tickets available, and some of them are gone already, at £37.50 a head. So that is marshnetwork.co.uk, and use the tab to go and book.
Fantastic. Another good event to go to. Got one more here, Kent Women in Business Lunch. Now, we know how women like to have lunch and eat and chat. This is a lively, fun and great networking business, women in business luncheon. So you can hear from some great speakers. This event, they've got Gillian Perry, who is a co-founder of the Anne Frank Trust, and Kim Arnold, who is a UK renowned business growth expert who grabs companies by the scruff of their neck and shakes them. Mm. I love that. That is on Tuesday 25th from 11:15 to 2:30 p.m. at Bradbourne House in Smalling. It's just £31.50 plus VAT. It's going to be fun. Loads of networking and some really great speakers. So if you go to businesseventsuk.com and you can book on for that. So that's, we've got more events coming up later for you to put into your diaries. So we're going to pack your diaries with loads of amazing events over the next couple of months.
Everybody's back after the summer, right? All lots of events in the autumn coming up.
Exactly. Well, it's like we get back into work mode, isn't it? It's like, right, come on, summer's over.
Relax. Get back into work mode and then go for a lunch.
Yes. that is working.
That is, yes,
it is working, honestly.
Yeah, networking is working.
Networking is working. You can put it down at expenses and everything. Awesome. Do you do a lot of networking, Bjorn? Have you started getting into it?
I don't do as much networking as I probably should. Mm. However, I'm getting into it a lot more now. So, yeah, I'm just trying to be able to get myself out there and raise visibility of me and my business and just get to know some other people as well. You know, it's for me, often it's about learning about other people. I'm a bit of a social watcher. You know, I like to be able to understand people and what makes people tick. So coming out and meeting a lot of people is actually a really good thing for me.
Yeah.
And, well, I carry a business with me as well, and maybe it can be of use to people. Maybe not. Just tell me, go away. Yeah. And then, yeah, all right, fair enough.
To be fair, I think it's just nice to have Bjorn talking because I just love that accent. I do. And I did make the mistake. I thought Bjorn was born in America, but he's just got a very large family. A lot of them live in New York.
Absolutely.
So that New York accent.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it kind of.
We think it sounds quite strong, don't we? But I guess New Yorkers think you sound very English.
Absolutely. My family just picked me out for all of the really, really Englishy sounding things that I say. So, you know, they'll sit there and study me. And, you know, they're just pointing at me, shouting English every minute. So, yeah, it really is a massive difference between, you know, what people here think I sound like versus what people there think I sound like. So, you know, it's different. And then, well, if I go to Florida, they just think I'm Cuban. So
I love it. Well, you could be. You look at you, multinational. Who knows where I come from?
Yeah, man of mystery.
Exactly. Know? I like it.
I don't look like Austin Powers, though. So just have a look at me on the
No.
That's a blessing.
Yeah, you don't have the bald head. But so you were actually born and raised in Lewisham?
I was born in Lewisham, raised in Balham.
Balham.
Yeah. So
Balham, I think they call it, don't they? Like Clapham and Clam.
Is it?
Yeah, Streatham and St. Wrytham. And,
really? Oh, wow, okay.
There we go. Well, something like that.
That's
I'm not sure it's a thing
anymore. And I don't even know where it is anyway, so moving on.
Southwest London.
Southwest London.
Yeah, pretty much pinned between Brixton and Streatham.
Oh, okay.
Clapham, Tooting, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, sort of like that. Sort of where it is. And you were saying, obviously, when you left school, that's when you sort of got into wanting to discover what you wanted to do with your life. So,
well, yeah, I mean, pretty much I'd always known that I wanted to get into engineering. That was something that my parents were very, very focused on. What do you want to do when you grow up? And they were pretty good at being able to pick out where your aptitude lies. Hmm. So they looked at it and, you know, my dad would always say to me, what do you want to do? And I said, well, you know, I want to be able to design things and build things and understand how things work. And he said, ah, right, okay, well, that's engineering. I said, okay. So he said, well, that's probably where you want to go. So I pretty much focused on it because that was my passion. It was about being able to make things work in a logical fashion. So that was the track I took. And I always remember getting to 16 towards the end of school. And, you know, you write your personal statement. I don't know if it's like that anymore. I mean, I'm probably a bit too old for that now. But, you know,
probably the youngest person in the room.
Maybe, but not by much.
Not by much.
But when you had to write your personal statement that went into your record of achievement, you know, that old burgundy book. And I remember writing in there, and I actually went back and took a look at it. This was a few months ago. And it's something that I revisit sometimes just to be able to, you know, get clarity on where I came from.
Yeah.
You know, and reading it, it was just detailing what I wanted to get into and the type of engineering I wanted to go into. And I'd actually written in there that I'd like to get a job at GEC Marconi. Well, I ended up working at BAE Systems for a significant amount of time, which is what GEC Marconi turned into.
Oh, wow. Right.
Yeah. So I actually managed to get through doing what at 16 was my perceived goal in life.
Yeah.
And by the time I was, no, I think in my like late 20s, I'd done it already. And at that point, you kind of sit back and you think, what's next?
Well, exactly. When you reach your goal, what are you doing? What's next?
Well, then you go. What you said there is so important for so many young people. You know, when I was at school, which was last century.
even longer ago.
certainly, we didn't do anything like statements and goal setting or anything like that. It was, but it was completely directionless. The school itself was, you get through the 7 years, then you go to university, and that's it.
Mm.
So there's no real steerage, and there's no sort of focus, goal setting, or anything like that, apart from just pass some exams, go away. You know, it was pretty awful experience. And I think a lot of children these days have similar experiences. If you don't have a focus at a young age, then you actually lose a lot of time, I think, actually.
That's right.
You know, because you choose the wrong degree, you get into debt, you know. So I think having a strong focus as early as you did is fantastic, you know, and it's obviously enabled you to achieve so much.
It's what pretty much grounded me in terms of the direction I wanted to go in with what I needed to do with my life. It was the thing that I had the passion about. It was what I wanted to do, and I went for it almost like I knew nothing else, you know, and I pretty much forgot about everything else quite simply to streamline myself in terms of heading towards that goal.
Yes, focus is a great thing.
Mm. And that's one of those pointers where, you know, people say, well, everything you do, is it taking you towards or away from your goal? You know, and everything that I did was about me going towards that goal. But naturally, once you get there, as I say, well, it was a little bit like, right, I've been here for quite a while now, and I've done everything that there is to be done here. So what now? And I kind of I stayed in engineering for a while, and I moved to a number of different companies. I looked at it, and I went from BAE Systems to work for Amphenol. Now, they produced a product for us that I essentially just looked at as a piece part, and I got to a point where I thought, that's a little bit of a pompous view. Mm. You know, I'm calling it a piece part and throwing it away as nothing, but that's actually a huge amount of work for them. Mm. Let me go find out. So I went to work for Amphenol.
Oh, okay.
You know, and it's then just continuously been on a track of me trying to gather as much engineering knowledge and information as I possibly can, because I'd reached that goal, so I had nothing else to do other than to look around within the area that I was in. But even in that, coming out to the point of then starting business, that was never a focus. It was never something that even at school I had any idea about.
Mm.
It was those people that run businesses are those elites, those that don't really, you know, fall within the same rules as everybody else. Well, in actuality, anybody can do that.
That's right.
But coming from school, you're never really coached in that kind of a way. Nobody has that understanding. You come out and you think, well, you know, okay, I'm going to get a job. And I'm going to go into something clerical, or I'm going to go into something medical. And that's really it. You know, there's a vast amount of kids right now that say, I want to be an accountant. Well, why? Because that accountant drives a Mercedes? Well, yeah.
Some do, some don't.
Yeah, well, exactly.
But that's the point, though, isn't it? You know, they have a very narrow sight of what life is about. So, you know, I remember being at college and them saying, well, you know, you're studying engineering here. Well, the pinnacle of what you're going to go to is BAE Systems. And I'm looking at it. I was at a college across the road from there, if anybody remembers Mid-Kent Horsted. And I'm looking out the window at this place and thinking, yeah, great. I want to get there. That's my focus. That's where I want to go. But everything that they tell you, even when you're there in that education system, was never enough that could sustain you for life. I didn't really think of it as that way. So once I'd gotten to that point, yeah, you know, I've got to do more. So I had to get out.
So that's the first part of the story. Yes. We are going to go to a little break now. So you are listening to the Business Bunker Extra Radio
this is
Show.
Quite special. We're actually going to play quite a special tune.
We are. So it is Friday, the 7th of September. Yes, there's only 11 weeks till Christmas. Or something like that, anyway. I'm sorry. I'm going to be really annoying for the next 10, 11 weeks. Nobody's going to listen anymore. I promise not to mention it again for another 10 weeks. Promise.
Don't believe you.
I try not to, anyway.
Maybe you should have a little, like, a swear box or something.
Yeah, every time I say it.
Yeah, but when you open that swear box at the end of the year, where are you going to put all that money?
To charity, of course.
Oh, I thought you'd put it back in your own pocket.
That'd be a big unboxing of the swear box.
Yeah.
Anyway, as you can hear, I am joined in the studio by my lovely co-host, Mark Goldfinch.
Hello.
And our guest in the studio today is Bjorn Haynes, who is the owner of Spice Masher PM. We have just been hearing Bjorn's beginning story of how he was so interested in engineering. That is what he studied and that's what he did. And after this song, we're going to hear his next part of the story where he starts his own business. This is a special release today. We are doing an exclusive playing of Jason Allen's new single, When the Music Stops. It is out for release today and is available on iTunes and various other places. But if you look on Twitter, I've got the link on there. When the Music Stops.
She sits all alone, tapping the table, ignoring each glass. I pluck up the courage as far as I'm able and ask her to dance. Then the band begins to play as she rises to her feet. Can't help staring when she sways, but still I don't mean I'm out of my depth, in her control, losing
jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Extra on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 7th of September. I am joined in the studio today by co-host Mark Goldfinch.
Hi.
Yeah,
I'm still enjoying
still
that.
Still here, still there. We're still enjoying it. We've just been tangoing in the studio there. Yeah. And our guest in the studio today is the lovely Bjorn Haynes from Spice Masher PM.
Hello.
Hello. We've been hearing Bjorn's story of
just started.
How we started. Yeah. And we've got to fit the last lot in for the next 20 minutes. I do just have to say, I do apologise, and I have been corrected. There is 15 weeks till Christmas, not 11. Sorry, Lisa. I'm sure somebody told me the other day it was 11. I was like, that can't be right. I haven't actually counted. So 15 weeks, people.
So you've been reducing our time, right?
I have. I've been making you panic for no reason whatsoever. Sorry. I promised not to mention it for another 10 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, something like that. I just have to do a quick shout out from Andrea Barker on the Twitter at Andrea BC Coach. Have a great show. I'd love a shout out for my Confidence to Be Your Best You 6 week course starting at the end of this month. Check out Eventbrite or her website, andreabarker.co.uk, for more details. Andrea's a fantastic confidence coach. So if you feel you need a little bit of help or support to have the confidence, check out her website for the course. Absolutely fantastic.
It is, and she's a lovely person.
She is lovely. So Bjorn, we left working for the big companies.
Yes.
Because you reached your goal. You managed what you set out to do in school.
Yeah.
And then you moved on. So then what came next?
Well, I kind of started at a, I played American football for quite a while.
Yeah, sorry, so were you talking about engineering?
Yes.
We didn't actually ask what kind of engineering. And that's, I think, you know, tell us, because that's obviously a passion of yours.
Sorry, engineering.
Let's get into the muck and bullets.
I thought it was just one thing. I didn't realise it was more technical.
Oh, no, you're falling into those realms.
See, yeah, sorry.
The amount of people that say that, you know, oh, so you're a mechanic then. Duh.
No.
Well, some countries, basically, that engineer is a title.
Yes, absolutely.
So in the Middle East, for example, you call them, if you have Mohandas, you know, it's actually a proper graduate engineer and somebody of substance. Whereas here, an engineer is somebody who comes and fixes your washing machine, which is more of a technician.
That's true.
That's right, yeah. A lot of places like in Europe, Germany, stuff like that, engineer is a title as well. So, you know, they treat it the same as a doctor or, you know, a scientist or master of something or other, where they get to wear the floppy hat that day.
Okay. So then what type of engineering did you do?
Well, I trained as a mechanical engineer, and I went into process production and manufacturing engineering.
Right.
So that basically got me into the realm where I was dealing with streamlining the way that things worked, the way that things were built, put together. So everything, I was working in military and defense really to start with. So I worked on a lot of helicopters and aircraft.
Oh, see, cool boy stuff.
Yeah. Big boys toys.
Yeah.
Lots of the unmentionables, otherwise they'll cart me off in cuffs. So
don't worry, nobody listens to the show anyway. You can share it with us.
If you have signed the Official Secrets Act, though, that is something that you definitely don't want to break.
So, my pen down on that. So, unfortunately, there's a limited amount. However, that was what I was doing. So, I then kind of took that forward, thinking about that and, you know, how I could then apply it to other things.
Hmm.
So it got me to 2014, and I was at a gathering with some old American football friends. I started playing back in 1996.
Oh,
yeah. So
don't look that old.
No, quite some time. No. You see, we started that way, right? Yeah. Maybe the oldest in the room.
Yeah.
So
you were in the national team.
I was, yeah. I played on the national squad for 3 years.
So I think there's a pattern forming here, if you don't mind me saying so. Because what I'm getting from you is somebody who is very disciplined, very keen to learn.
Yeah.
You know, so, basically just has the aptitude, but actually really you want to challenge yourself to be the best.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And you've done that in engineering and in American football as well, in sport.
That's right, yeah. I guess I'm pretty focused like that. I don't really think about it like that. You know, I'm just driven to do as well as possible at what I'm doing. However, in just a conversation last night with the fantastic Gemma Fairclough Hayne.
Shout out for you, Gemma.
Yeah. Hey, darling. she said to me that if I was doing anything, that I immerse myself in it.
Mm.
And I try to do everything within it and to become as good or the best within that field or that area. And, you know, it was about a different topic. Part of it kind of ventured into American football simply as, you know, as you mentioned, going all the way to the national squad, you know, playing European championships, transatlantic games.
Wow. See, some people were just, hobby. I'm just going to play a bit of American football to fun at the weekends. No, beyond me. All the way to nationals.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for me, it was about being as good as I possibly could be. So it was necessary to just push through everything and become that. So it was a goal and I went for it and achieved it. Great, you know, and then when I was too beaten up, I didn't start coaching. So
this hurts too much. Central. I don't want to play anymore.
It's one of those games where you end up with a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
So when I was too broken to play anymore, I decided, well, look, if I've got this focus, you know, and that's how I feel, I'm sure other kids do as well. So, you know, I'll then use that and try to gear some other kids up to be able to do what I did.
There's the C word, the courage, basically. To American football doesn't have a great reputation in this country, you know, for a lot of people do still sneer at it, the people who don't actually understand the sport.
Yeah, that's true.
And think, you know, rather sneer at it and look at all the protection. But it is a dangerous sport. You know, people get injured, there's huge guys colliding with each other.
Yeah,
and speed.
Exactly, at speed. Sport. Yeah.
I mean, within the UK, there's currently 70 teams.
Oh, wow.
And down the country. There's an entire league, multiple divisions within there as well. But as the Great Britain coach once said, rugby is a contact sport.
Mm-hmm.
American football is a collision sport.
To be fair, and you can see that, can't you? Because obviously rugby, they have to tackle the legs, it has to be take them down. Whereas if you see them playing American football, you literally just run into each other like buses. Yeah. Bang.
Absolutely.
Yeah, blocking and tackles.
It makes a huge difference. You know, trust me, my shoulders and my neck tell the whole story.
I can imagine. Now, unfortunately, the time is going fast. I really want to get on to, so we're going to fast forward now a little bit to Spice Masher MP, because I really want to get into the details of what you do with that. So it's process management.
That's right.
So putting into action, I guess, the engineering side of things and breaking things down to see what makes them work.
It's goal orientated as well.
Yeah.
Because at the end of a process is something, a deliverable, a widget.
Absolutely.
One of those fabled widgets.
That's right.
Basically, something happens at the end of the process.
Mm.
So the process enables that to happen.
Yeah.
That's correct. I mean, what I've basically done is take engineering principles to apply them to operations within multiple business types. The reality is you're going to start somewhere and you're going to have a logical end to anything that you're doing. And that logical end is either a deliverable to a customer or a handover to another department within your business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have no logical process to follow within that, then you have multiple people doing different things in the business. Mm-hmm. Those deliverables become completely separate from one another. So you're not getting the same kind of a thing. It then just becomes chaos within your business.
Yeah.
And chaos costs money, takes time, and it's just totally inefficient. People can't catch up with each other. You then, if you need to bring new employees in, you don't have any way of being able to keep them in any streamlined manner because, well, they talk to one guy and he says, I'll do it like this. They talk to somebody else and they say, do it like that. And things then vary so massively that you're constantly trying to catch up with not doing things right. So for what I do is taking those engineering principles, applying those to business in order to streamline things, to take you out of that chaotic atmosphere. I do have a blog about chaos, so take a look at that. But it really is about streamlining businesses.
Yeah.
You know, it's about making things consistent and repeatable, so your deliverables internally and externally, again, my latest September blog, are positive for wherever they're going to.
Yeah.
And you start to remove any issues that come from that.
And I guess you can simplify. I joked earlier about making a cup of tea. We had Aaron Taylor on the show a few weeks ago, and he said that he'd met with you, and you sort of said to him, even taking him through the process of making a cup of tea, tell me how you make a cup of tea. And then obviously as he was doing it, and you turned around and said, well, now how can you make that more efficient?
Absolutely.
And that's obviously simplifying the whole process, is looking at what you already do, probably quite sometimes without thinking about what you're doing because it's so natural to do it.
That's right.
And then refining it to make it more efficient.
Absolutely. A lot of it is about optimizing something that you're currently doing.
Mm.
So to take a very simple example of that cup of tea, that's something that people always do, you know. So to be able to say, so how do you do it? I then have the opportunity to show somebody that there is a way of optimizing what you're doing, you know, and that might actually make that job simpler for you. You think about it. If you're absolutely parched and you want a cup of tea, wouldn't you want to make it 30 seconds faster?
Absolutely.
Of course you would.
Yep.
Right? So, you know, you think about something as simple as that. Now, that really doesn't mean a whole lot, you know, a cup of tea, 30 seconds faster. Yeah, okay, fair enough. But when you go and apply that to something within your business, and that 30 seconds actually equates to £30,000, for example, you're going to want that to happen, right?
Exactly.
You know, so all of a sudden, you can then apply that simple methodology that you applied to making that cup of tea to different operations within your business and find that you get such a positive result out of it that you're then going to look to try to optimize that more. Or you want to apply the same, similar or the same kind of methodology to other aspects of the business to then find out where you can have gains there, you know. So looking at productivity is one side of things. Looking at operations manuals is another side. You know, I write operations manuals for businesses as well. However, I always subsidize all of those operations manuals with process mapping, because it's all well and good having everything down in a book. And I, again, have another blog about, I've been blogging since August of last year.
You've been going mad.
You know, so
Brain dump, getting all that information out there is brilliant.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, from August last year, I've thrown a blog out every month, and it's, I've got multitude of stories and things like that. So everything goes into these blogs. However, I told a story in one of my blogs about, you know, a situation with my dad saying to him, you know, I'd say to him, hey, dad, what does this word mean as a child? And he says, go look in the dictionary. You say, okay, fair enough. Now, that's a really, really great thing. So you learn to be self-sufficient, right? But if you've got no idea how to spell that word, or no idea where to look in the dictionary to find that, what are you going to do? You're either going to say, nah, you know, forget about it and just wait till somebody else uses the word and try to figure it out contextually.
Yeah.
Or you're going to spend an age searching that dictionary trying to figure out what that word is, right? Either way, you're either wasting time or you're not getting the right idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's your operations manual. So unless you have the guidance of mapping behind it, you're almost going to be lost anyway.
Yeah.
That's true.
Where to start? Where to go?
Just one last question.
Yeah.
Because obviously time is against us, as always.
Running away as usual.
The name Spice Masher.
Yes.
Where does Spice Masher come from? Is it a thing? Is a Spice Masher a thing? So you probably go in a chain store and actually buy a spice masher. Like a ginger masher or something. Yeah.
In the way that I've used it, no, because I mean, even to go into a store and find a spice masher is generally split up by two words. But in the way that I've used it, my dad always called me Spice Masher as a kid.
Ah.
And I didn't really understand exactly what it meant, so I went to go and search for it. And it worked out that it was a term from my origin, which meant a passionate person of mixed origins.
What a great backstory for a name. You know, it's just fantastic. Yeah.
So then to use that, I then looked at that and thought, well, what I do is actually taking a culmination of ingredients of what you currently have in your business, putting that together with real methodology, real principles, in order to combine all of that to give you the best possible result. So Spy Smasher process.
And here you are, and here you, this is what you're doing.
That's perfect. And that's a perfect way to end, because just that final analogy is brilliant. People, how can they get hold of you? What's the best way to find you?
People can find me at www.spysmasherpm.com or .co.uk. I got both.
You got both. Yeah, you're a sensible person. Sometimes I'm always thinking, you know, go to type .co.uk, and I'm thinking, why do people just all just com? It's shorter.
Absolutely. But Spy Smasher seemed to be so unique that nobody got it.
That's
so
good.
It was great.
That was good. And your blogs are on there as well, so people can find all your blogs
on
your
website. I also have an infographics page. I build loads of infographics. Fabulous. Little 2-minute video reels of, you know, little tutorials and stuff like that. Also on Twitter, you can find me on there at Bjorn_Haynes. And I'm also on LinkedIn. Have a look up for my name. And I also have a business page on there. Also on Facebook too. So
fabulous.
I'm everywhere.
Everywhere. Wherever you want to find him, he's there, all over social media. Thank you so much for sharing some of your story with us today. Seriously, this show is not long enough. I want a longer show because I want to speak to my guests for longer. We'll have you back on again.
A little bit later
down the line. Maybe in about 15 weeks' time.
15 weeks. Hey, I told you what happens on the 20th of December.
Oh, of course, it starts with the whiskey. Maybe not then. Maybe 16 weeks.
To drive, you know. Maybe 16 or 17 weeks. Give it a little recovery time. Yeah,
definitely. Thank you for sharing with us, Dave. It was brilliant to learn more about what you do. We've got a few more events to share with you. There's so much coming up over the next couple of weeks. So get your pens and papers ready and put these dates in your diaries. So coming up next week, it's quite a busy week next week. There's loads going on. So on the 13th, we've got the business diaries. On the 12th in the evening, we have got the launch of the new speakers platform, Be Seen and Be Heard. Now, the speakers platform is a speaking competition for people who want to find out more about becoming professional speakers and elevate themselves as speakers. The entries for this have now closed. We have got our entries and there are some amazing speakers.
How many
We had 10 entries and the judges are now currently working their way through all of the entries. They had to send through little video clips of themselves explaining what they were going to talk about, their bios and everything. So they're working their way through now. We want more people to attend this. So although you can't compete, please do come along and join us for the evening.
I'm going. I can't wait. I managed to sign up yesterday.
Yes, you did. So it's on Wednesday 12th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. It's at Fruitworks Co-working in Canterbury. And it's literally just £15. It's there's going to be drinks and nibbles, and we want you to come along, because what's going to happen is although all the 10 people have entered, the judges are now picking their four finalists, and then these four finalists will speak on the evening, and then the judges and the audience will decide who the overall winner is going to be. Now, but nobody's going to know who the four finalists are until the actual evening.
Exciting.
So nobody's going to
tell me now.
Nope.
There's nobody listening. You can just tell me.
I don't even know. The judges haven't even come through with their decisions yet. So our judges are Paul Andrews, who's a former professional speaker. Paul. Jane Farnham, who is the director of the Great British Speakers, which is a fantastic speaking agency.
And she also lives in Deal.
She does live in Deal. And Amy McManus, who is the owner of AM Digital Marketing and also the Business Women Speaker of the Year.
She was at your Networkers Networking recently.
She was.
And
she's a great speaker. Yeah. So we want you attendees, come along. It's going to be a fun evening. It's something different. Listen to these speakers. They're telling us their journey, so it's going to be really fun. I'm really looking forward to it. Next Wednesday. Just go to butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/the-speakers-platform. Book on as an attendee and come and join us and help us choose the overall winner. It's going to be so much fun. Mm-hmm. What have you got there, Mark?
I've got a couple, actually. Let's start with the Business Doctors. Wednesday, the 26th of September this year, starting at 6 p.m. Run until 7:30. So it's basically an hour and a half. Metro Bank in Maidstone. The Business Doctors, Business Doctor Pete Searle, will be hosting this free FSB Connect event. Head of Investment at Locate in Kent will be speaking, Mr. Chris Broom, and a few other really great speakers. To book, go to businessdoctors.co.uk and look for events, or go to eventbrite.co.uk and search for Business Doctors.
Fantastic. Okay, this is a little bit later down the line, but it's in November, so do put it in your diaries, because we know how fast time goes. On 19th of November at Buckmore Park in Kent, it's the Kickstart Social, a one-day social media and digital marketing training event for businesses. It's Get Started with Digital and Social Media, or Brush Up on Your Skills. So if you want an introduction to it, if you're very much into social media but you need to help with the SEO on your websites and your digital marketing, that's going to be covered. But if you are very heavily involved in digital marketing, but you want to know more about social media, it's covering everything. It's a one-day training. There's lunch and refreshments, and it's CPD certificated for 6 hours, which is great. And there's loads going on. So if you go to kickstartsocial.media, it's just £45, including VAT for the whole day. It's great value. It's going to be fun. We're going to have more details of that coming up over the next few weeks with all the speakers, but it's lots and lots and lots. We're running out of time, Mark, so I'm just going to quickly jump onto this one, and then I think you've got one more. But I just want to make sure we cover the Chimps and Tricks charity event, which is happening at Port Lim on the 19th of October from 6 to 11:30. We are raising funds for the Aspinall Foundation's Mega Fauna Project. The Aspinall Foundation do amazing work helping to re-establish and reintroduce wild species back into their homelands to prevent them from extinction. There's so many amazing animals that are now extinct, and the Aspinall Foundation are working hard to prevent any more extinction. It's going to be an amazing night at Port Lim Hotel. We're going to have reception drinks in the manor house, and then we're going to move down to the marquee, where we've got great entertainment. We've got three amazing magicians: Stu Weller, Rob Scott and Neil Edwards. We've got casino tables provided by Dan Smith and Ace Casinos, and we have got Jason Allen Sway and his swing band. So we've already heard a bit of Jason today. So come along and help us raise money. And we've also got, must mention, the most delicious food is being provided by Chives Catering and their sister company. It's going to be absolutely amazing. It's just £55 per person. Groups of six or more are £50. And also we're taking sponsorship. So if you would like to book a table as a company for six or more, please contact us, because obviously we will give you lots of marketing coverage for sponsoring the event, plus giving to charity,
so you can put it on your books. Yeah.
It's a fantastic. So go to butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk, click on the What's On page, and then you will find the Chimps and Tricks charity event. We've got just time to squeeze that last one in, Mark.
Well, I've got two, but I'll do the first one. Do you want to see Ruby Wax?
Oh, Ruby Wax
in Kent.
Yes.
Amazing. Wow. Wednesday the 10th of October, 8:45. It's an all-day event, 8:45 until 4:30 at the Tudor Marriott Hotel at Bearstead. And this is Ruby Wax and the Bradley Group. Bradley Group is hosting a one-day symposium to demystify employee health and well-being. Go along. Ruby Wax is there. Sir Bill Callahan, Chair of the British Occupational Health Research Foundation. This is for insightful seminars, practical demonstrations for business leaders, experts. Get yourself along. See, and that is thebradleygroup.co.uk to find out more.
Fantastic. See, so much going on. I love it when there's so many events going on. It's like, oh, what's new? What's going on? So check them all out, people. You can follow us on Twitter. We'll be tweeting out dates and everything that's going on if you didn't catch it all. Or listen back to the show and write those dates in your diaries. I have to say a big, huge thank you to Mark for being with us on the show today.
It's been a pleasure. Go so quick.
Bjorn, thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do join us on the show next week. My co-host is Gemma Fairclough Haynes. And our guest is Ben Abbott, from Maximum Media. Don't forget to listen to The Bunker Show on Tuesday from 1 till 3. We'll be back next week. Thanks very much. Have a great weekend, everyone.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders. This is Channel 2.